But we've been talking about, centering up on Philippians 1, verse 6, which we'll read. Let's just read it. That he who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. That, we've talked about different facets of it. Basically, that we are walking out God's plan for us on this earth, or we should be. We want his plan, not our plan. It's not our plan. It's his plan. And we've covered many facets of that. And taking our place, and what it means, and how he's going to do it. That it's as we look to him. That is, he's going to complete it. That doesn't mean he's going to do everything. If he was going to do everything, then everybody would be saved, everybody would be healed, everybody would be filled with the Holy Spirit, period. Jesus has made all these things available, but we still have to draw on it. But now that doesn't mean we flip to the other. You see, one extreme is you don't have to do anything. God will do everything. The other extreme is it's all on you. That's an extreme. Everything's on you. It's how hard you work. No, it's somewhere in the middle. God has his part. He's provided it. We have to take it. And we take things that he's given us, that we believe what he's given us, and if we believe it, we'll act like we believe it, and we'll take it. We'll inherit it. It's ours, but we'll walk in it. So the thing I want to talk about today specifically is in that process. And we talk about taking your place in the body of Christ and that there's different gifts and all that, and that, being outside, doing what you do in your life, not just in the four walls of this church. But in that, we're all here, gathered together in, we say we're going to church. Really, we're the church, we're just meeting. Church, the word church is never used talking about a building in the Bible. It's us. It's the called out ones, the people that have made Jesus Christ their Lord and Savior, that have been reborn. So we're here, meeting together. And I'm speaking, and I'm the pastor. I want to talk about the role of a pastor in that process. What do we need a pastor for? Do we need a pastor? Why would I be up here speaking right now? Because there's some people that think, well, you don't need one. We're all the body of Christ, you don't need any that should teach you because the Holy Spirit, right? You quote that. No. Yeah, the Holy Spirit will teach you, but he gave gifts. Do we need to go to church? Can we just sit at home, do whatever we want? And we'll get to exactly where we're supposed to be? No. That mean God can't lead you at all at home? No, of course he will. I hope the only time you crack your Bible isn't here. Or the only time you look at verses of Scripture isn't Sunday morning. No. We need to read, we need to look at the Bible. I hope that the only time we ever join together prayer is not when we pray before service. No, we ought to pray at home. Now, we ought to do things. That's your personal time with God. He's going to direct you and guide you. But he also has placed gifts in the church to augment that. You can go in either way. You can say, oh, it's all about what you get in church. You can't, some people take this to extremes, and, they can't make a decision without somebody in the church or an elder or something telling them what to do. That's error. That's wrong. That's out of balance. On the other hand, people say, I don't need to go to church. I just get it at home. I'll watch the television preachers. Error. Wrong. You're going to fall off. You're going to get picked off. Period. Because I know so much? No. Because God placed gifts in the body of Christ. And gifts in the body of Christ are not, some people would think, I've heard some people say, well, their kid is 3 or 4, boy, he talks a lot. He must be a little evangelist. I can just see it on him. No, it's not a natural thing. Well, he just organizes stuff real. I bet he's going to be a teacher. No, it's not a natural thing. It's not something, it's a supernatural endowment that you have. It's the anointing of God. It's not something that you can, it's just natural, well, that must be this person. People have tried to make it like that. They take the spirit out of it, they just make it all about your natural abilities. Now, God will give you natural abilities, don't get me wrong. We read it last week, God anointed certain people so that they were artisans and craftsmen. Yeah, he does that, he does. I'm saying, things will go with the gift you have, but you can't judge the spiritual gift by natural abilities. It's a supernatural endowment that people are called to. and it's God. See, God's the one that calls, so he gives it. So people, like we've said, no matter what it is, you can't stand in somebody else's place, period. You can't. People try it, but you want to be where you're anointed. We all do, right? So what is the role of a pastor? What does he do? Well, let's turn to Ephesians 4:11. It's good to know so that we can work with the gifts that God has placed in the system he's put into place. See, because people have gotten to err on either side, it leaves people with a bad taste in their mouth, so they throw out the baby with the bathwater and then they get into error themselves. People say, well, you know, this pastor, he was just too hard. He thought he was better than everybody, so I don't want it. I don't think we need one. Or, why, you know, we just can get together and we can just have everybody because we're all Christians. We can all share the word. And so they go off in another direction. They get hurt. They get offended. They go off and they get picked off by the devil. No, we can't let somebody's error, somebody's mistake get us off. The only thing we can go by to be led is by the word of God and the Spirit of God. But the Spirit of God will never lead you outside of the word. Somebody says, well, I'm led to do this. I'm led to go and just do this, and I don't care, you know, that God's leading me. But it's against the word? That's not God. That's not God leading. Nope. There's something else. But what does it say in Ephesians 4:11? And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For why did he give them? Now we're going to read through this verse and go through some other stuff and then come back. We don't make it back, you know, but we're not going to go. I want to get some other stuff in here. So I'm not going to drill down a lot in this verse right now. But he himself, God, the head of the church, Jesus, he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers for the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. So that sentence right there, for the equipping of the saints to do what? To go out and do the ministry, like we said last week. When we go out of here, what do we need? These gifts are given to equip us, all of us, to go out and do what God has called us to do. For the edifying of the body of Christ, for building up the body. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro, and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men, in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Now that's a mouthful. Like I said, we're going to come back. We could just spend tons of time on each part of that. But I want to insert some stuff. Then we'll come back and see how this fits in. But he's saying essentially these gifts are given to equip, to build up the body of Christ. Now get it? It's not the men. Don't get your eyes on a man. It's God who puts the gifts. You draw from the gift so that you are built up, so you can do your part, so you're as strong as you should be. All of us. So that we're strong to go out and do what we need to do so we're not tossed to and fro, so that we can give and walk in what God has given us to do. So that's the purpose. Now we're going to read some scriptures about specifically the pastor and talk about what does a pastor do, why, what's going on. Let's turn over to Mark 6:33. Mark 6:33, but the multitude saw them departing, and many knew him and ran there on foot from all the cities. They arrived before them and came together to him. And Jesus, when he came out, saw a great multitude and was moved with compassion for them, because they were like sheep not having a shepherd. So he began to teach them. Now notice that Jesus is saying, they were like a multitude, like sheep without a shepherd, just kind of going, doing their own thing. And he had compassion on him. So what he began to do, he began to teach them. Now Jesus, we're going to read, he's the great shepherd. He's the chief shepherd. Jesus was the ultimate teacher. Jesus walked in every ministry gift. And he had his anointing was without measure. We all have an anointing or a gift with measure. All together we can do what he could do. Now we're physically can be everywhere. He was in one place. But he walked in everything. He was the greatest teacher that all ever walked the face of the earth. But notice that he began to teach them. They were like sheep without shepherds, so he began to teach them. Mark 14:27. Read a scripture there quick. Jesus is talking about himself, and he's quoting the scripture about himself. And he says, then Jesus said to him, all of you will be made to stumble because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep will be scattered. Now he's talking about himself. He is the great shepherd, the chief shepherd. We're going to read about that. But the thing I want you to see there is, when the shepherd was struck, the sheep scattered. What did he just say? Sheep, the people were like sheep without a shepherd. Now, just remember what we read. God gave gifts. One of those gifts was a pastor. Why? To be a shepherd. Now we're going to get to that. And I'm pointing out now, we need that. It's something we need, all of us. Let's turn to Hebrews 13. Now listen with your heart, draw, and just, you know, this is one of those things that people, like I said, there's been things happen with people. I've been around certain things where people got hurt by a pastor. A pastor hurt them. And man, when somebody gets hurt by something, they can run. It doesn't leave quick. Now, I've seen some stuff, and people, because there's a certain thing, they can put trust in somebody, and then something happens, and they get hurt. They feel like the person let them down. They associate with God. And if this can happen in any area, but if it has to do in the church, somebody fails them, they associate it with the church. They associate it with God, and the devil loves this scenario, because he comes in, seizes that opportunity, and what people don't realize is that they are being destroyed, but what they will say, what the devil will come in and say is, they're all like that. All pastors are like that. They're a bunch of hypocrites. Or the church, whoever it was in the church, you can't trust them. Why did, and they think they're better than any number of things. And the devil's feeding and dividing and working in there, trying to get people. And what is so, it's easy not to realize, is that we're the ones that are being destroyed at that point. The devil will point at somebody else and he will destroy you. Because he knows good and well how God sets certain things up, and he'll use a man's failing, like I said, in any area. That's why we just don't get our eyes on men. Now, should we walk according to the word? Of course we should. That's why. People are watching us, all of us. They're watching us. They want it. That's why, people are, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. See, they say one thing, they do another thing. Well, you know what? If somebody's seen hypocrites in their life, that's not a reason for them to reject the living God. They're still going to have to answer. They're going to get before God. Well, why didn't, I'm not saying this is the scenario, but if God's asking him, so why didn't you believe? Yeah, well, all these other people were a bunch of hypocrites. You think that's going to fly? You rejected because of what somebody else did? You rejected the sacrifice I made? No, it's not. And so we all have to examine ourselves. And I will say, I've been around the church world all my life, and I've seen people, it's so easy for people to get offended. So easy. That's the devil's way. He divides and conquers. And he has a lot of people that he's convinced, you don't need to go to church. You don't need a pastor. And you know what? What are we talking about? What's the main theme we're talking about? That God will complete what he's wanting to do with us till the day he comes back, that he will complete it. He who begun a good work in you will complete it. I don't know about you, but I want to run. I want to have everything that God has for me. What does Satan like to do? Hinder us, throw snags in our way, get us. So basically we're trying to run, but we're limping. Because we're not set up, we're not walking with him. Oh, you don't need to pray. Oh, you don't need to read the Bible, whatever. And so the more of that we take, oh, you don't need church, you don't need this, we're hindered. We won't reach our full potential. And all the while, we can think, well, we're in the wrong, and we'll keep feeding it because we'll say, yeah, every time we even will think, well, yeah, maybe I should go, oh, yeah, but there's this and this, and he'll bring up that whole list, the hurts and everything. That's why we just have to let that go. Now, why am I saying all that? Because when we're speaking about something like this, just open your hearts. Just look at what the Word of God says, because we all want to be on the same page. It's not about exalting a person. And you know, because I'm the pastor and I'm teaching about this, people have used the pastoral role to completely manipulate people, to completely try to control their lives, and that's wrong. But on the other hand, we need to know. We need to know so that I've been in churches, of course, and I've learned how to draw on the pastor and the gift. It's not the man. Don't get your eyes on a man. The man, you should respect the man. You should. And I'm telling you, no matter if you were at this church or any, this is the truth, and we're talking about the truth of God's word. We need to honor that. But I've seen where you should be where God calls you to do, where you can hook up, believe, and run with what God has called you to do. It's so tempting to get your eyes on a person, to be critical, to say, well, I do it this way, that way. That's not our job. Now, some people have said, well, you know, this person, maybe somebody was completely closed to any ideas or completely acted like a dictator. That's wrong. On the other hand, I don't know about you, but I don't go into the CEO's office unless he asks me at where I work and just say, hey, I think you should be doing it this way. Most people would not do that in the natural world. But because people have gotten an idea different about church, yes, we all bring something. Yes, we're all called to something. But there are positions and there are callings. And some people have got into error thinking, well, we all bring the same thing, so therefore there is no hierarchy. I mean, back in the 70s and stuff, where basically, you know, authority goes out the window, and so, hey, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to take anything. We're not going to listen to, it doesn't really matter what position you are. Yeah, it does. It does. There are positions. There are things in the body of Christ. We all have a position. And we all ought to respect that. And we all ought to walk in where we're called and honor each other. That doesn't mean that anybody's better than anybody else. It doesn't mean we should be dictators. And that's where people have rebelled against certain things. People have basically been condescending at times. People have been like, it's, I know everything and you got to take it all from me. Nobody likes that. And so they've rebelled and they've gone off and they just throw the baby out with the bathwater. But there is a balance. And that's what we're talking about today. That we want to walk as the body of Christ and walk and get to where we're supposed to be and grow and be nurtured. Like we read in Ephesians, we'll go back, that we want to be equipped. We learn how to draw on the gifts that God's placed in. So we are going to Hebrews 13. So all I'm saying is we keep our hearts open and we want to go on with God, all of us. Hebrews 13:20. It says, now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep. Now notice, who's the ultimate shepherd? Jesus. Jesus is the shepherd. Ultimately, we all answer to Him. And we're all getting fed from Him. Now may the God of peace, who brought up our Lord Jesus from the dead, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight through Jesus Christ, to be whom to be glory forever and ever. He's the great shepherd. Who's going to do it in you? Who's going to get you to the place where you need to be? Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you complete in every good work to do His will, working in you what is well-pleasing in His sight. He's the chief shepherd. Here it says, the great shepherd. Now go over to John 10:10. John 10:10. It says there, the thief does not come. Now Jesus is talking. He's in the middle of an illustration, but He says, the thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. So He's the great shepherd. He's the good shepherd. Jesus is the chief. He's the head of the church. Now let's turn over to 1 Peter. 1 Peter 5, verse 1. It says, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God. Now we'll read through this, we'll go back through. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you, serving as overseers, not compulsion, not by compulsion or willingly, not for honest gain, but eagerly, not as being lords over those entrusted to you, but be examples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd, who's that? It's Jesus. He's the head of the church. And when the chief shepherd appears, you will receive the crown of glory that does not fade away. So notice, the Bible calls Jesus the great shepherd, the good shepherd, the chief shepherd. He's the one that takes care of His flock. So now, how is part of the way He does that? He appoints under-shepherds. Pastors are part of the way that He gets us all. He's shepherding us. And part of the way He does that is through the Bible, is through the Holy Spirit, is through the office of a pastor. What does the pastor do specifically? Well, go back to verse 2. Now, notice Peter saying, the elders who are among you, I exhort, I encourage, I who am a fellow elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also a partaker of the glory that will be revealed, shepherd the flock of God which is among you. Shepherd the flock of God which is among you. What does that mean? We kind of have a picture of, you know, somebody, a shepherd with sheep, kind of, gathering them, helping them, everything. The word means The Greek word means feed. When you see feed, it's the same word that would be feed is shepherd. The shepherd is the noun, like a feeder. And what he's saying here, when he says shepherd the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, he's saying feed. Now, if you look on your scripture sheet there, I just put that part of the verse in the Living Bible. What does it say? Verse 2. 1 Peter 5, verse 2. Feed the flock of God. That's what a shepherd does. That's what it means to shepherd. It means to feed. Feed what? Feed on what? The Word of God. If a shepherd in the natural doesn't feed the sheep, they're going to die. Now, this is the analogy that Jesus gave and is given in the Bible. And there's so many facets to it. Does it mean that somehow the pastor who's been given a gift by God is somehow better than all his other fellow human beings? No. Not at all. What it means is the chief shepherd is going to shepherd all of us. And one of the ways he does that, one of the ways he's going to feed us, strengthen us, get us what we need, is through the gift that he has set in the body of a pastor, which feeds us and nourishes us and gets us. That's part of the way he works. So, in verse 2 it says, shepherd, or when you see that, you put in your mind, feed the flock of God, which is among you, serving as overseers, not by compulsion, not because your arm's being twisted, but willingly. Not for dishonest gain, not because you're in it for the money, but eagerly. Not as being lords over those entrusted to you. Not as being somebody who tells everybody what to do. It's not my job to tell you what to believe. Or a pastor's job, I should say. It's not a pastor's job to tell everybody what to believe. It's the pastor's job to feed the Word and let the Holy Spirit teach. Yes. And the Holy Spirit will teach. You are not listening. Your ears are hearing me speak right now, but the Holy Spirit is the one directly talking to all of our spirits. Thank God it's that way. It is not a natural thing. It's not through the pastor's mind, any gifts. It's the anointing of God. It's spirit to spirit. It's quickening. There are so many times I've been in services where the pastor or the person speaking did not say specifically certain things that had anything to do with the problem I had, but I got answers. It was just like it was quickened in here. I could see things. That's the anointing of God. That's the gift in operation. Is it the man? No. The man doesn't have a clue necessarily what you're going through, but the chief shepherd does. And so what he'll do, he uses men. All of us, like we've talked about. This is one of those gifts. He uses men to get his will done. But it's a supernatural thing that he uses a man and speaks to us in this earth, and then speaks to us directly to our spirit. And that we get what we need. And we're grown up and strengthened for our mission. Thank God it's not limited to the intellect of people. We want to do whatever we do in the power and the strength of the Holy Spirit. Don't ever let natural things determine what you do with your calling, when God's calling you to do something. God's going to do it supernaturally. It means He will use your natural gifts, but He is not dependent on them. We talked about this weeks ago. God is not impressed with your intellect. He's not impressed with your looks. He's not impressed with how much money you have at all. In fact, you bring those things and think, well, I ought to be used. Surely God will use this and this about me. Probably not. He doesn't need that. God made man. God made the clay that we live in. He's not impressed by our looks. I'm sure Adam and Eve were better looking than anybody on the face of the earth. They were created perfection. You know, God's not impressed with that. He's not impressed with intellect. Oh, I'm smart. God will surely... No, God's infinitely smarter than us. He doesn't need that. He's not impressed with money. He will use us. He will give you gifts, and he'll use that, and it will give him glory. So we don't want to look at natural things. It's a supernatural thing. Verse 3, nor as being lords over those entrusted to you, but being examples to the flock. See, the pastor ought to do things well. On the other hand, I'm saying this as a pastor, but I'm saying this as the word of God wherever we go. Been on both sides. The pastor's not perfect. His children aren't perfect. No matter where you go. The devil loves to do this, goes into churches, and like, well, yeah, if he was really this and that, he would have this in order. No, you know what? You hear that? That's not to say the person couldn't come up in some things, and I'm talking about anybody, but that's the voice of the enemy. He will try to divide. He'll put you in pride thinking, well, you know more. You should do this. They ought to do it this way. If they were really spiritual, they'd do this. I'm telling you, if it's like that, it's the enemy. I've been in congregations. I've seen a lot of stuff, and I'm sure you have too. And you know there are things like this that this happens. And this is the way it happens. If the devil can't get you to leave or something like that, he'll get you to... He'll work, and he does this in every area. He'll work on your pride. Well, that person needs to do it like this. Oh yeah, you're right. You would know. Yeah, and he's subtle. He's a liar. He does it. And so what we need to do in every area is we just need to walk under God, the chief shepherd, in humility, and really take care of what we... Make sure that our attitude and our heart's right. You'll always be on the right side. Always be on the right side when we walk in love and we walk in humility. We'll always be on the right side. And we'll sidestep some of the traps that the devil tries to set for us. Thank God. Let's go back to Acts. Acts 20:28 says, therefore take heed to yourselves. Now this is Paul. He's got a group of elders and friends that, you know, he's going on to Jerusalem. He tells them. They probably won't see him again. And so he's kind of telling them some last things. Verse 28, therefore take heed to yourselves and to all the flock, among which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers. See, just like the Holy Spirit, he calls gifts into the church. He called you, each of you, into a place. Nobody can take that place. At the same time, if God calls someone to be in a pastor's position or a prophet's position, nobody can take that. And it's a position. And I say that, I mean, this is what the Word of God says. I say, no matter what church you go to, if you have this attitude, don't... Just if we'll just take care of our place, and as God directs us, we'll run our race. And it, you know, if things open up that we need to, there's an opportunity. We really see how something can be done. We do that in humility, and some opportunity is open for it. I'm not saying there's no place for that, but I have seen a lot of stuff, and you have too. And there is a lot of air in the body of Christ where people think, because we're all just called to do something, that means, you know, we can go around and we just tell people. I'm not we. There are people that will go out and think they know how everything should be run. They'll go into the children's ministry. Oh, well, that person should be doing this. Why don't they know that? And then they go over here. And don't they know that? And these people, a lot of times, do the least. You ever seen any of this? They don't do anything. They're like the sideline quarterbacks. They want to tell everybody else how to do the job that God has told them to do. You know that's nothing but pride. I'm telling you, if you get in the place where God has called you to be, you don't have time to tell everybody else what to do. You don't. You're just concerned with going forward and doing what He has called you to do, and you understand that it's the God that has enabled you to do what you do, and it, if we all take that attitude, the body of Christ will work well together. But it's when the devil gets in there with pride, which he has done from the beginning, he himself thought he could take on God. Bad move. Yet, he tells people all the time, whispers in the ears, stuff they like to hear. Now, as I said, this is just the Word of God on this subject, and we just need to take heart no matter where we are, because things will work well. Therefore, take heed to yourselves and to all the flock among you which the Holy Spirit has made you overseers to shepherd, again, what does that mean? To feed the church of God which He purchased with His own blood. To feed. If we come to church, see people, I'll just miss, it doesn't matter. It does. We miss a meal. Exactly. Not too many. These same people, they don't miss dinner. And you know, this is analogy. This is what the Bible uses. It is a very good analogy, and it's right on in a lot of areas. You can take this analogy so many places, and it holds up. But we all know what we feel like when we miss a meal. We're hungry. And we ought to be coming to church because we're hungry and we want to get what God has for us, and we want to grow and run into the things of God, and we're going after God. Now, people all the time, they start getting their eyes on a man, they go after men. No, we want to go after God, and if we're hooked up with a local body, then if we have the attitude, God is going to speak to me and He's going to feed me. I don't want to miss that meal. We'll be there and we'll be drawing. Hey, give me another helping. I tell you, it draws it right out of the gift. It has so much to do with the listeners. When people are pulling, if people are sitting there sleeping, man, why? Because it's not, think of it when you're eating at a table, if the cook's sitting there, take some more. No, it doesn't work that way. You take it. You are letting go and you're pulling it. That's the way it happens. You pull on the gift. You're there pulling. You get more. You get fed. You get what you need. Things work the way they ought to work. But when you look at it the way people have looked at it completely, to where church is an obligation or something, and so when they miss church, they feel guilty. You're not supposed to feel guilty. You're supposed to feel hungry. It's the same thing when you miss spending time with God in your personal time. Reading or praying, you shouldn't feel guilty about that. You ought to feel like, man, I miss it. Man, I want to get in there. I want to get what God has for me. Thank God. And if we'll walk, if we'll just hook up, then stuff, the machine works to use that as it ought to. God can get us what we need. Oh, I've been in so many services where there was something I was dealing with and whatever, and came to church and it was answered. So many times. Why is that? And there's 4,000 people in the audience. And the person wasn't preaching to me. No, God knew what I needed. Brother Hagin would say this. He didn't do a lot of counseling. And he especially wouldn't counsel people if they weren't in church. And how many, I've seen it. And so many times where you know, like Pastor Hagin said, Brother Hagin would say he's seen it so many times where somebody is dealing with something and then they don't go to church and the very answer that they needed came forth. And then they come the next day or 2 days and they want counsel on it. And Brother Hagin just said, you know, I just got to the place where it doesn't do much. If people will get, because they're looking to a man. If we'll get to the point where, no, it's God that's the chief shepherd. If we'll just do what He's called us to do and be, if we're hooked up with a local body, then we ought to support, we ought to be there. And if we're there, we'll get our needs met because the chief shepherd is making sure of that. If we'll get that attitude, man, we don't want to miss. Is it because we think we just can't? No. Is it because we're in some crazy thinking, whoa, it's just some cult. I just got no. It's because we're hooked up with the chief shepherd, and this is what he put. And I'm telling you, we will be strong. We will be nourished. We'll go where we need to go. Now, let's turn back to Ephesians 4, and we'll close here, wrap it up, come full circle. Now, read this in the light of what we've talked about. I don't know how many times it happens every Sunday. I don't know certain things. I say things I never planned on saying. All the time. All the time. It's God Almighty that knows what needs to be said. And I tell you, when I'm preparing, you're praying and certain things pop up. Those are the things I write down. You know what? I'll write stuff down, but I don't. It's like it's there. If it came up once, it'll come up again. I don't try to memorize stuff. I don't try to go down there. It comes back out. But those are the things that I make a note of, because those are the things that I've heard different people say, yeah, that was pointed out, or whatever. It's the Spirit of the living God feeding his flock. It's not the man. Ephesians 4, 11. All right, let's read this again. And he himself... It's talking about Jesus. Just before that, it says, he who descended is also the one who ascended far above all the heavens, that he might fill all things. Who's the head of the church? It's Jesus. He's the chief shepherd. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Why? So we could have a nice building and come to church. No. For the equipping. Do we all want to be equipped? Yeah, it's fine to know where you're supposed to be. It's fine to know what God has called you to do. But don't you want to be equipped to do it properly? We want to be equipped. We don't want to go into battle without the equipment that we need. For the equipping of the saints. Why? So we can all get together and say, boy, that was a good service, wasn't it? Let's go home and watch TV. Not against any of that, but I'm saying that's not why we came. Boy, woo, that was good. No, so we are equipped for the work of the ministry. So we can do, and like I was saying last week, the work of the ministry is our life, ministering in whatever God has called us to do. It's not so you can go and do this little subset in the church. That's part of it. Don't get me wrong on that either. There is things in the church need to be done, called to do. That's part of your life. But it's so that you are equipped to walk where God has called you. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying, the building up. What does good food do to your body? It builds you up. You are what you eat. We all are. We are what we eat. If we eat junk food all the time, we will be weak and frail and not strong and not able to go physically. It's the same thing. A pastor's job is primarily to prepare good meals. That's what his job is. There are logistics to certain things, and that's part of it, and that's part of what's going on. But the primary job is to prepare good meals and to prepare healthy, balanced meals. You know this, if you feed your kids all the time, you know, they would love to eat cookies and ice cream. I'm just talking about, you just left a kid alone for a period of time, we train them to do certain things, but I'm saying people's flesh wants, they would eat hamburgers, all this stuff, I mean, till they got sick, and then it might dawn on them that that's not good to eat. But I'm saying they would probably fill themselves with stuff they don't need to eat all the time. And we are tempted to do that as believers too. We want to hear just this. I'll hear this and just this and just, you know, fill up on that. That's not the way we ought to. That's why a pastor's job is to balance it out. And the Holy Spirit will balance it out through that gift so that we are strong, so we get what we need to get. And that's part of it. Verse 13, till we all come to the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so as we grow up. And what? Verse 14, that we should no longer be children. so that we will no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about by every wind of doctrine. And that's what happens to a lot of people. They see something on Christian TV, then they see this on Christian TV. Then they read this book, and then they read this book. And people start to contradict each other, and they go over here, then they go over here. And then they don't know what direction is up. And there's new things coming through. Some things are good and solid, some things aren't. And it's just like, da-da-da-da-da, and people get beat up. And that's why God has placed certain things in. Why? So that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about but with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body, us, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, all of us, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. What's the end result? We'll all be built up. The body will be strong. We'll all be equipped to do what we need to do. But this is part of it. This is part of it, that we go in what God has established, because God established it, and He's not going to change His methods because somebody thinks that it ought to be changed. No, God still works the way He set it up. And if we'll grow, if we'll just hook in and get there and get ready for a meal and just draw on the gift, I'll tell you what, we'll be stronger than ever. Amen.